comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks. Welcome to the show, whoever you are, and wherever you happen to be all around this gorgeous planet we call Earth. Thank you for being here at The Kevin Smith Show. I appreciate you being here. I'm here because you have a right to know and because you matter. Tonight is Open Line Live, and it's BYOT, Bring Your Own Topic Night. For those of you who are new to the show, you don't know what that is, let me tell you. It's a great time to call because we will talk about any topic that's within our genre. Now, we don't do politics. We don't do religion. We don't do Aunt Susie's recipes or how to fix your car. We talk about the world of the strange and unexplained. But anything within that genre, anything at all, I know you've been reading things, various newsletters, various posts and forums, things on the internet you've been looking at and reading, and there are some things that have your interest up. You've been looking at videos and seeing some really cool stuff happening around the world in the genre of the strange and unexplained. You've been reading books, you've been listening to this show and hearing guests talk about things, and your interest is up on a lot of different topics. Well, this is your opportunity. It's the easiest night to get through on the telephone when we do BYOT because we have more telephone time available. Not that it's easy to get in, but it's the easiest. And secret, when you dial, then the next time, if you don't get through, hit redial. And if you don't get through, hit redial. Keep doing that. You'll get in, and we want to hear from you. So you get to select the topic. We'll talk about what you want to talk about tonight, okay? Open Line Live, BYOT. That also works with the folks who are outside the USA and outside of Canada. It's open line for you, too, and you can either call or, because we understand it can be very expensive to make international long-distance calls, you can use our flash message feature on the website and participate in Open Line Live. Well, it is Friday on this side of the planet. For some of you, it's already Saturday. And either way, it's either weekend eve or it is weekend, and that's an exciting time because most of you will get some time off for yourself and for your family, and that's always fun, always exciting, and always important. The K-Files is our free weekly newsletter. It's already gone out this week. And the reason it went out early, normally we send it out right after the show on Friday night. We start sending it. I started sending it out earlier today and got it completed today because I hope to take some time off tomorrow. I never take time off. I hope to take about 3-4 hours off tomorrow for myself and call it a weekend. But if you're not subscribed to the K-Files, scoot on over to my website and subscribe. All right, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show and BYOT night. Now, what we're going to do is open the telephones right now. That's not something we normally do, but we're going to open the telephone line right now. 623-444-5889. And if you are not in the USA and you're not in Canada, you can use our flash message feature to communicate tonight. And name the topic. Tell us what it is that's on your mind. Make a comment about it, and you know, we'll discuss it. Who's going to be first? Now, on the table in Greenland, which is almost entirely covered with ice, or it was, almost all of the ice cover has suddenly, and I mean suddenly, melted. A lot of the climate change, let me change that. A lot of the global warming people jumped on this like that and really tried to make a big deal out of it. It's a big deal only in that there's no one living today who has ever seen that happen. But they know from geological records and ice core records that it happens about every 150 years. And this is, according to one scientist, right on schedule. So it's not a big deal. Unless it happens again next month or the next month. You know, it sets up a rapid trend like that. Then that's a big deal. And that's according to the scientists dealing with this. The reason I changed that from climate change to global warming, I don't want anybody to forget that all the people screaming about climate change now used to be screaming about global warming until that got kicked in the teeth and shown to be a fraud. Now, I said back then, hey, look, climate change, you bet. If we weren't experiencing climate change, this would be a dead planet. We've been experiencing climate change since way before any of us were born. And in fact, if you want to go with the term global warming, we've been experiencing that, too, for thousands of years. And if we weren't, we'd still be in the Ice Age. That's what brought us out of the Ice Age. It's a normal cycle. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Mike, Kentucky.
Hello, Mike.
Have you seen that Earth Files post from Linda Howe about the pyramid underground?
No, I have not. I have not seen that.
Yeah, well, that's kind of interesting. It says, is there a large pyramid underground between Mount McKinley and Nome, Alaska? And it appears that back in 92, when the Chinese did an underground test, scientists monitoring that, and they saw what appeared to be a large-shaped object under the crust of the earth, and it appeared on the TV station, and one of the guys, and I think his name was Douglas Mutzler, watched it, and he asked the TV station, said, what about that, could I get a copy of that report? And they said, we didn't issue a report, we didn't have coverage like that. And so as he was leaving the station, one of the technicians came up to him and says, we did. Somebody approached us and told us to set it up and not say anything about it. So you might want to check this out. I sent out my mailing, so you should probably get it anyway.
Okay, well, that's very interesting. Did anybody speculate as to what is this thing? I mean, I know it's a pyramid, but anybody speculate as to how did it get there or what is it doing?
Not really. I think right now it's just a little bit too early to tell. Linda Howe is kind of released this, but she's not, the way I understand it, she hasn't said too much about it yet. Mm-hmm. Now, this is just my preliminary reading of this. I haven't done it in depth, but I thought maybe you should know about this.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that. You know, off of the coast of Oregon, out in the Pacific Ocean, on the bottom of the ocean, if you just go to the northern tip of Oregon and go straight west, you'll run into some pyramids on the bottom of the ocean.
Yeah.
So this.
And you know another thing too.
Yeah.
In Greenland, they say that ice is really melting. And on Google Earth, I had found this artifact that was in the middle of Greenland. It was very long, and when you zoomed down to it, the height of the thing visible was about 60 miles. It looked like it was orange metallic. It was under the ice. And now I've looked at Greenland now, heard about this, and it's a map now. It's not that kind of shot that it used to be. They've taken that off and put a map down there. Which seems to say something was under the ice.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, it sounds like your telephone's under ice. It's real choppy and breaking up. We barely make out what you're saying.
Yeah, sometimes it does. I don't know if that helps or not.
Yeah, you know, if you're using a Bluetooth, I don't know if you are, but that's the reason. If it's a Bluetooth, it's a radio. A Bluetooth headset is a radio talking to your radio, which is the cell phone, and the Bluetooth radio is not really a very good radio, and it chops up like that.
No, it's not a Bluetooth. It's just a wireless radio. I mean, wireless phone,
yeah.
Which is still a radio.
Yeah. Well, this is better. Yeah. Okay, Mike, anything you find on that, be sure you let me know. I'll check the email after the show and see if I got something on it. But okay. That is fascinating. And did they say how big this pyramid is?
It's bigger than the Pyramid at Cheops.
Well, there's one in China that's several times, three times taller than that one.
Yeah. So, I mean, apparently all of this stuff that's going on, your guests that we've had over the last few days talking about this kind of stuff, this stuff is taking place for the heat, the melting of the ice and snow and the changes that are taking place, apparently going to bring all this stuff out pretty quick.
Yeah, it just might. It just might. All right, Mike, thanks for the call, man. I appreciate it.
Take care.
All right. Okay, let's see. Right. Now, don't forget, if you're outside of the USA and you're outside of Canada, you can send me a flash message. If you're in the USA and you're in Canada and you send me a flash message, I don't even see the message. It dumps it. Okay? We have telephones for you, and I recommend you use them. Talking voice to voice with people has become almost a lost art in this world of mind-numbing texting and online chatting. But real people still talk. 623-444-5889. Well, that's a fascinating thing. The pyramid. Yeah, pyramids, especially this one that I think he said is just under the crust of the earth. Well, that would be fascinating. But, and very mysterious. Very mysterious. But, you know, pyramids are all over this planet, and that's a mystery by itself. Why the same shape pyramids everywhere all over the planet, even in Bosnia? All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Brent from Wyoming.
Hi, Brent.
I hesitate talking about this because I really don't know what the heck happened, but when I was up in the mountain Tuesday afternoon, I was looking for a local Stargate. I don't know if I found it or not. It's there's pictures of what I think would be it in the members area. But I walked into a clearing, and something happened. I just felt really weak, really hungry, really thirsty, and I walked up to the upper end of upper end downhill side of the park, and I walked up into the hills, and I kept going upstream. I was up in there probably an hour and a half. I got rim-rocked a couple times in the rain, and I came back down. I was down below where I left, went into the park. I don't know what that is. It's just weird, frustrating for me.
I don't understand. Okay, so you walked up in there and you got rained on, and then what happened?
When I came back down, I was going upstream all the time.
Okay.
When I came back down, I was below where I went in.
Hmm.
Like I said, I don't know what that is.
That sounds very similar to what we heard from Ron Quinn, the guy out in Arizona that spent all those years living and exploring the desert in Arizona.
Yeah, I know.
And he was talking about sitting on a ledge, overlooking a canyon. And then in the next instant, he was overlooking a whole different canyon.
Yeah, I know. I'm not claiming that's what it is. It's just something weird happened.
Well, did
so
you?
Maybe I stumbled on it. I don't know.
Did you experience any lost time?
Not that I know of. I was all alone. I intentionally went up there, tried to get lost so I could find it. And you got to understand how I walk in the mountains. I just go up there and walk. But I can't get lost. But I was up there a lot longer than I thought I would be. I mean, I was probably up there, I thought it would be maybe an hour and a half, 2 hours.
Uh-huh.
I was probably out there walking around the trees for about 6 hours. So I don't know if it's lost time or not.
Did it seem like you were there for 6 hours?
Yeah, well, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed a lot longer than it should have, but it's rugged territory back there, so I honestly can't tell you.
So you walk up into this wilderness area, and then you walk back down, but when you came out, did you come back exactly the same way as you went in?
Yeah. The park ran downhill two directions, towards me and down the mountain.
Okay.
I went in. When I came into it the first time, I was at the bottom end of it, going down the mountain. I walked to the upper end of it and walked back up into the trees to get back to my original trail. So I was at the upper end of it. When I came back out of it, I was about halfway into the park, halfway between lower end and upper end.
And you came out the same way as you went in, right?
What?
You came out the same way as you went in?
No, I came out below where I went in.
I know that's where you came out, but as you were coming back down the mountain toward the park, were you coming down the same trail?
No.
Well, is it possible that you just overshot where you intended to go?
If I'd overshot, I would have missed the park completely, because I was going upstream all the time.
Okay. I'm not sure I understand, but I do understand that something happened to you that was not what you expected. Something strange happened.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I won't say what it is, because I honestly don't know. It's just weird. Frustrating, for one thing, because I wanted to get back to my truck, and I couldn't get there.
Mm-hmm.
So...
And it wasn't a case of being lost.
No, I can't get lost in those mountains. That's a problem.
Okay. Well, what is the story about the Stargate?
When I was visiting with Jerry a couple years, about a year ago, he said there was a Stargate close by me.
Mm-hmm.
So like within 10 or 15 miles. This happens to be about, as a crow flies, about 10 and a half miles.
Okay.
In this area. So I just started looking for it, and I don't know what the deal was. But I felt hungry and thirsty, and I've never felt that way, not like this before. So I don't know. Mm-hmm. It's just weird.
Well, have you looked in the mirror to see if you're the same guy?
What?
Have you looked in the mirror to see if you are the same guy?
No.
You may want to check that. You may have, there may be a lot of changes you don't know about.
Yeah, I know.
Wow.
It's weird. Anyway, I'll check it out again later when it cools off, because it's way too hot.
Yeah, well, be sure you let us know.
Yeah, I will.
Take your video camera with you.
I will.
All right.
I got a couple of pictures on the in the members area, but, you know.
Where did you post them, in your photo album or in the forums?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, you did what?
What?
Okay, I'm going to let you go. All right. So either in his photo album or in the forums, okay? Check it out. He's got some pictures there. Brent, thanks for that call. Ladies and gentlemen, it is Open Line Live, BYOT, bring your own topic. If you don't happen to like what it is we're talking about, change the topic. As long as it's in our genre, it's fair game. 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. And if you're outside of the USA or outside of Canada, you can use the flash message feature. And you can participate in the show that way, all right? Flash messages. But you have to be outside the USA, outside of Canada, and the only restriction is the topic does have to be within the genre of the strange and unexplained. I'm still fascinated by this thing about the pyramid. You know, pyramids are, well, for one thing, they're mysterious because they are in every continent, everywhere. And nobody seems to really know really who built them or why. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Oh, this is Joni from St. Louis.
You said Joni or Johnny?
Yes.
Joni.
Joni, J-O-N-I.
Hello, Joni from St. Louis. What's on your mind?
Well, you know, I got around to watching the Filipov files.
Uh-huh.
That Jerry had.
Yeah, Joni, can you hang on through this break?
Sure.
Yeah, you hang on. We'll be right back to you. All right, folks, we have to step away for break, and we will be back right after this.
The Kevin Smith Show.
All right, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. And on the telephone with me, I hope she's still there, Joni from Missouri. Are you still there?
Yes.
Okay. Joni, I apologize, but the break took over, and we had to just cut you off in mid-sentence. So let's start over. What's on your mind this evening?
Well, I wanted to bring up about Dr. Filipov.
Okay.
I have been it, and I just wanted to compliment Jerry in his interview style. He really hung in there with Dr. Filipov, and just his technique of interviewing was not, you know, real hard-hitting. He just very deftly would ask questions, and finally Dr. Filipov really opened up.
Mm-hmm.
regarding aliens and so forth. So I just admired the whole way it was done.
You know, and I agree with you, but you know, Dr. Filipov, in an interview with Croatian TV, you may be aware that we were the first, and I think the only, Western media that actually contacted him. And we did that within, about 4 or 5 hours of the article coming out in the news in Bulgaria. Then we were making arrangements to go interview him. He had agreed to that, and the very next day, he just disappeared for about 10 days. And the next time anybody saw him was when the Croatian TV news crew was allowed to go and talk to him. And in that interview, when they asked him, "Did you say these things that are in the news?" And he said, "Yes." And they said, "Are you in contact with extraterrestrials?" And he said 3 different times in that interview, because they asked him 3 different times, he said, "That is the information that if I tell you, they will kill me." And so it was difficult, even now, in 2012, that was back in 2010, in 2012, it's difficult now to get him to talk about it. But he did open up and talk about it, didn't he?
Yeah, I can imagine, and I was aware that you did some real groundbreaking work there with him, and it's just too bad that academics can't really open up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I really was amazed. That I didn't think Jerry was going to get anything out of him. And I'm glad I hung in there and watched the whole interview, because mm-hmm. it was really very, very interesting. He wanted to talk about it, and then finally he just started talking about it. So,
you know, he said a very interesting thing.
Nature.
It's very interesting where Jerry, I think for the 3rd time, asked him about being in touch with extraterrestrials, and he had said no, that he hadn't. But then a couple of minutes later, Dr. Filipov says, "You know, you asked me if I had ever been in touch with any strange people." And then he described this contact that he had with 3 young people, and those 3 young people showed up at his door, which, as Jerry could tell you, you have to go through the check-in, and there are people, security people, watching all the way to Dr. Filipov's office. And these people didn't get, they showed up at his door without going through any of the security checks. And it's interesting too, he said that they were they provided information that you can't go on the internet and find. It's not there. And but then after several meetings with them, they didn't come anymore. And did you notice, he said, "But I have their coordinates."
I found it interesting that he referred to them as blue people. And I knew right away he was talking about indigo children. Mm-hmm. I think that's what he meant.
Could be. But the interesting thing when he says, "I have their coordinates."
Uh-huh.
The Bulgarian word for address?
What?
Address. It's the same. Address.
Oh.
And so he did not mean to say address.
Uh-huh.
That was quite interesting. Had he meant to say address, he would have. It's the same in English as it is in Bulgarian. He didn't. He said, "I have their coordinates," which is a much more difficult word to know and to say in English. Yeah. I have their coordinates.
Yeah, it just it was just interesting, to watch the whole unveiling, I guess. And I'm a fan of Jerry's anyway, and I looked at him in astonishment that he was able to be so patient.
Mm-hmm.
And then word things in a way that drew this fella out. It was something to behold, really.
Yeah, pretty masterful. Pretty masterful.
Yeah. Really.
Well, Joni.
That's about all I wanted to say. I think anyone who can should try to watch it.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that. And, folks, if you haven't seen the Philippoff Files, why not? The ad is on my website. Click it. It'll take you over to Expeditions TV. It's their production, and you can see it. Okay? Joni, thanks for the call. All right, 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. Open line live tonight. Bring your own topic. I guess you kind of figured that because of the statements I've made already, I'm really taken by the pyramid thing. Does anybody else know about that? Have you anybody else read about that? This I believe it was Mike called in with that information there is apparently an underground pyramid in the northwestern United States, and it's apparently a big secret for some reason. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. It's Levi from Portsmouth, Virginia.
Hello, Levi.
Hey. I was wondering, the space probe is supposed to land on Mars August the 6th?
Yeah.
And I wonder, what kind of special program are you going to have that day? I know you always have special programs from time to time.
Well, I may or may not. It just depends. NASA has been mentally getting everybody ready for this to fail.
Why is that?
Well, I don't know why, but, they've been saying, there's some problems with the heat shield, and we're not sure it's going to function right, and if that heat shield doesn't function right, it's over. And, they've been kind of preparing people for this to be a failure. And I'm very suspicious of that. Even if they announce it's a failure, I bet it isn't. And I bet it's on the ground doing some mission that they really didn't want to tell us about.
How come they always give you that red haze all the time?
I don't know. That's pretty amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, I wonder about that.
You've seen some of the pictures that I've taken the red haze out of.
Mm-hmm.
And they're crystal clear. You can see pebbles on the ground, but with the red haze, you don't see that. And I don't know. It seems like, I guess kind of like a junkie. They're used to it and they have to have it,
I mean, what could it be hiding? I mean, even if there was some type of statue or monument there on Mars, I mean, none of us could really get to it. So, I mean, why would you want to hide it?
Well, first, there is life on Mars. I don't know that it's intelligent life, but there is life on Mars, and there has been intelligent life on Mars. And we know that because we have seen buildings. And we've seen buildings rather clearly by taking the red haze out. They look like ancient ruins, but still, that means somebody intelligent has been there. But NASA doesn't want us to know that. And I think you know, the real question is why. I mean, you know, what do they think is going to happen if they admit to what we all already know?
I don't know. You know that probe that I think it was at the Jet Propulsion Laboratory, the picture they showed with said Frost on the rover, and I blew that up 1,000 times, and I saw all kind of buildings and structures and stuff. Mm-hmm. And later on, I went back to that same picture, and it was all blurred out. You couldn't tell what was there then. It's like they discovered that people could see that, and they got it all blurred now. You mm-hmm. can't tell it.
Levi, let me ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say that tomorrow, because you've already seen buildings and things on Mars with your own eyes.
Right.
So let's say tomorrow NASA goes on television and they say, okay, folks, look, we're going to change the rules of the game here. We've been fudging the facts here. And we want to tell you that there are buildings and structures on Mars. And, you know, someone intelligent has been there. Would that rock your world? Would that upset your life? Would you go crazy and go panicking into the streets? What would happen if you heard that?
Well, I don't think it would scare me, because I would figure whoever's there, if they wanted to be here, they could have got here by now. So mm-hmm. I don't think it would scare me at all.
Maybe they did get here, and maybe we are their descendants.
Well, that could be possible, but that still wouldn't scare me.
Mm-hmm. See, I'm the same. I don't think that it would really rock anybody's boat here, except for the establishment elite. I think it would rock their boats, because they have so much invested in, for what reason I don't know, but they have so much invested in perpetuating the lie that there's nothing there. It would rock their boats, but I don't think the average person on the street in this country or in any country would be rocked by the news that someone intelligent had been there on Mars.
Yeah, I mean, you might give me some, raise a red flag of why some people say they got raw blood. That might raise a flag or two.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm not too enamored with that concept of royalty. I think we're all exactly equal.
Yeah, I think so too, Kevin.
Levi, okay, thanks, Kevin, for the call, man. I got a break taking over.
All right, thanks.
All right, bye. Folks, we'll be back right after this, so don't go away. Right. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and we are open line live tonight. BYOT, bring your own topic. The telephone number is 623-444-5889, and let's go to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Jerome from Pennsylvania.
Hello, Jerome.
Hi. I saw in the members area where Brent posted about his trip, his journey, trying to find the Stargate.
Okay, was it in the forums, or was it in his blog, or where?
You know what, I only looked in the forums, so it must have been in the forums. I didn't see the pictures, though.
Okay.
And my only question, my suggestion to Brent, I didn't understand it. And I just like I got the feeling you didn't totally understand it either, but I didn't think so much it was a question of lost time as opposed to time elongation.
Okay.
And the reason I say that is because he didn't seem to think that there was lost time, but he was hungry and thirsty.
Mm-hmm. Well, and he did say it took longer than he expected.
Mm-hmm. But he didn't say that there was lost time.
Mm-hmm.
And my suggestion to him would be, since he does seem to do stuff like this, is to be more aware, of the time.
Yeah, of course, you don't know to think about that until you experience one of these.
Well, if you're going out to search for that, I think that would be, to start and set a time schedule.
Yeah, yeah. Have you ever done that? Have you ever gone out looking for some kind of anomaly like that?
No, I haven't.
Well, I sort of have. I don't know, Jerome, I can't remember how long you've been listening to the show, but back in 2008, I guess it was, maybe 2009, Walter Bosley and I was still broadcasting from Phoenix, and Walter and I went out to South Mountain, south of Phoenix, and he had his ley line map with him, and it's ley lines for the whole northern hemisphere. And we went to the spot on the map where you have the largest intersection of ley lines in the United States. And that intersection of ley lines, there's 14 of them that intersect there. And right on it is this building called the Magic Castle. And you may have heard me talk about this. This is similar in some ways to the story of Coral Castle. It's a guy that he thought he was dying with tuberculosis. And at the time, there was no cure for that, so he left his family. He didn't want to infect his wife and daughter. And he moves out to the desert, to the edge of what was the garbage dump at that time. And nobody knew where he was. His daughter thought he was dead. And just from materials found there in the desert, he built this castle, and it looks like a castle. And then after many years, he didn't die, with tuberculosis. But after many years, he finally did die. And he had left this castle in his will. He left it to his daughter, who didn't even know he had been alive. And when we were out there, she was still alive, and she lived in that castle. But we followed those ley lines through South Mountain Park, and we found some phenomenal stuff. But we didn't experience any of that kind of weird dimensional stuff that Brent seems to be describing.
I was a member I wasn't a member back in 2008, unfortunately, but I did listen to the show. I didn't become a member until you had the archives that you had to pay for them.
Oh, well, that's been since 2006.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
Well, then that's when I did become a member, because I couldn't listen for free anymore in my schedule. I told you I apologize for that, because it got me motivated to become a member.
Yeah. Yeah, when in 2006 we started moving the archives into the members community, and in 2007 we had them completely in there. So, somewhere along in that period of time. But the thing about it is, we didn't experience any of the dimensional weirdness, and yet we lost track of time out there.
But you know what, losing track of time, like you know, if you're having a good time in something and then all of a sudden you say, oh my God, it's, 2 hours longer than I wanted to be.
Mm-hmm.
But you're aware that, that there was no extra dimensional thing.
Right. Right.
Also about the pyramid.
Mm-hmm.
I listened to Coast to Coast last night, but I was dozing off and on.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing about the pyramid, I think that she was trying to bring up was that this counterintelligence officer, he saw on a PBS in Alaska, a PBS station, they aired this documentary, and he went the next day and tried to get a copy of it, and they denied even doing it. But yet, him and others watched it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know so much that he knows anything specific about the pyramid, but it's more so that he was aware that there's an area that was, that, you know, it's no longer, it's whited out in the maps and stuff.
What did anybody talk about what is the significance of, so there's a pyramid, okay? I mean, that's curious, but, and?
Well, it's so much, I think no one really, like I said, unfortunately I dozed off and on, but what I could recall, no one really talked about the significance of it. It was more so that other people approached him and told him not to mind his own business.
Well, now, if that happened, that means there is some significance to this
sure.
pyramid.
Yeah. Hey, Kevin, one other thing on maybe on a topic on get to know your host better. I see the New Orleans Police Department was taken over or is under control of the U.S. government because of corruption.
Yeah.
And since you were, you know, a police officer in that area, do you think that corruption can be, you know, alleviated by just keeping the same people in there but having training?
Well, in some cases and to some degree, the answer would be yes. However, to kill a snake, you cut its head off.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people in key positions that either did know or should have known in a situation like that really need to be replaced.
I agree with you, but it does seem like one of the people in the key positions is one who called for this change.
Well, and that could be the case. I mean, you have, I've seen this, you have people in a bad organization who are, they have right motives and right thoughts, and they're trying to clean up the bad organization so that the organization will do what it's supposed to do, and be a good organization. And in a case like that, if you've got someone that has somehow made it to a position where they have a voice that someone higher will listen to, and they call for the cleanup, I don't think you need to get rid of that person.
Mm-hmm.
But I can tell you, if that's the case, that person paid one heck of a price. And
I would agree with that,
yeah.
Especially with you knowing what you do about police work.
Yeah. Police, look, let me tell you, the New Orleans Police Department, at one point, I don't know what the situation is now, but at one point they had four of their officers on death row for murder. And one of them had killed her own partner and had killed her father and hid his body under the house trailer. And New Orleans was a place where other cops, if you had to go there to pick up a prisoner, you'd do it, but you get the prisoner and get out. Other cops didn't even want to be there. Hey, we got a break taking over. I got to run.
Okay, thank you, Kevin.
All right, bye-bye. All right, folks, we'll be back right after this. More BYOT. All right, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and it is BYOT night. That means bring your own topic. It's open line, so we'll talk about what's on your mind as long as it's within the genre of the strange and the unexplained. Welcome to those of you who are joining us just now in this second hour of the show, and my sympathy to you for whatever kept you away from that first hour. And here's hoping you never have to suffer that tragedy again. To the telephone and caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, Kevin. This is John from Conroe, Texas.
Hello, John.
We've talked before.
Yeah.
Okay, and a little bit of science regarding the supposed pyramid in Alaska.
Okay.
Okay. There's something suspect in the way that it was reported. Okay. Specifically regarding that it was detected because of some kind of 1992 Chinese underground nuclear test.
Okay.
If they didn't have geophones laid out in just the right, order, there's no way they could ever pick up that anomaly. No way. Now, based on what I've seen from the Google image, a Google Earth image that's on Earth Files, there are some, right angles. So I'm not discounting it. All I'm saying is the storyline as to how it was detected is total baloney, because there's no way that frequencies as low as those generated from an underground nuclear blast could ever illuminate a feature of that size. There's no way. I mean, and Linda doesn't know that because she doesn't deal with, geophysics. But there's no way that it could have been seen that way. Now, from Google Earth, you can see that there are right angles, and that raises some eyebrows.
So what you're saying is, if there is a pyramid there, they actually discovered it in some other way, and the story about how they discovered it is what's in error.
That is correct.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's baloney. If they said it was based on some kind of crustal study, that's baloney. That's too small a feature to see with any kind of crustal study frequency.
And you are a geophysicist, aren't you?
I am.
Okay. So you would know, and...
I would know.
You would know, and we'll take your word as an expert on that.
I don't know. Some people might beat me up on my expertise, but
this kind of stuff doesn't
set well with me to have, Linda using, some kind of source from China defining this pyramid. That makes no sense to me whatsoever.
Well, as you said, she's a journalist. She would not know at this point that's not a possible means of detecting this pyramid.
You'd have to have all your phones, your geophones, your listening devices in all the right places at the right time to make that happen. And there's no way that was going to happen in that remote spot.
Okay, so let me ask you, as a geophysicist, what means could be used and possibly was used to detect that this pyramid is there?
From what I can see on the Google Earth satellite image,
mm-hmm.
I'm seeing some right angles, and I'm looking at it right now, and those right angles, are a key. Those angles don't happen naturally, and especially in the environment that it's in.
Okay.
I'm not discounting it, although how they would detect it, I think they could, you know, fly a magnetic survey or, you know, even a airborne gravity survey and determine that there's something that's anomalous there, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean...
All right, now, you seem to be familiar with the report from Linda, so let me ask you this. Is the report saying that this thing is under the crust of the Earth or simply under the surface?
Way. It's showing up on a satellite image.
Okay, so...
Yeah, there's no way. It might be buried. It might be under...
Under the surface, but...
Well, let's just say it might be covered up like Göbekli Tepe, mm-hmm. you know, but there is some kind of rectangular feature there, and I can see that. I mean, anybody could see it if they look.
Okay. You so know, they could fly over it with magnetic resonance imaging. They could fly over it with, I think you said, gravity?
Imaging? Airborne gravity. You could do it with airborne gravity and detect whether or not there's something anomalous there.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, you could get there on the ground and do it with, you know, ground-penetrating radar if you got any kind of funding to run over it
mm-hmm.
with, you know, that kind of survey. You could determine what was there.
So is this report... is it saying that this is a very large pyramid, bigger than the one in Egypt?
Oh, she's got some sizes that are estimated, you know, and I'd have to get it back in and do it myself in order to, you know, feel comfortable with the dimensions.
Mm-hmm.
All I can say is that it looks, you know, pretty significant. But at the same time, undetectable by, you know, the methods that were supposedly used for its detection in the first place, according to the study.
So there's not, there would not be any seismic means of detecting this thing.
Well, you could check it out with seismic. I mean, you could do a micro seismic study over it and determine exactly what the geometry is. You know, it's just a matter of getting funding and, you know, having all the phones out in the right place and the shots out in the right place. You could determine exactly what it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
from a wave coming in from an underground nuclear explosion in China would not do this.
That's kind of baloney.
Okay.
Okay, I mean, and that's being kind.
Well, and I appreciate you telling us this. I mean, I would not have known that had you not told us, and perhaps Linda would not know as well. So maybe.
Well, she's inundated with all sorts of stuff. I don't mm-hmm. blame her. I mean, she just picked up on it.
Mm-hmm. Well, and she picks up on some pretty interesting stuff, too.
Well, and people pick up on her.
Yeah.
I mean...
Yeah, it happens. It does. Well, John, I appreciate you letting us know that. If you do any further research on this and come up with any further information on it, I really hope you'll call and share it with us.
I'll do that.
Okay, thank you.
Talk to you later. Bye.
Bye. Well, there you go, you know. We got experts of all kinds scattered all through the audience. Every single one of you is an expert on something. And... don't let anybody ever tell you otherwise. All right, let's see what we have here. Okay, I've gotten two flash messages, but they were from the USA, and therefore the message is deleted. It just shows me the name, and it shows me USA. If you're outside of the USA and you're outside of Canada, and you want to give us a call, you may do so, but you may also, if you're outside of the USA and outside of Canada, you can use the flash message feature. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin. It's Jeff from Tennessee.
Hello, Jeff from Tennessee. What's on your mind?
I just wanted to alert you to a few things that I observed earlier.
Now, does this have to do with what we talked about on the phone earlier today?
Yes, it does.
Well, let me tell people what we're looking at here. Because I'll let Jeff tell you in his own words, but he saw some UFOs today, and while we were talking on the telephone, and he shot me some photographs of them. I have enlarged them. I have also embossed them, and I'm going to share them with you. Okay, Jeff, what happened?
Yeah, I was just sitting here on the front porch, and all of a sudden, I saw some things up in the sky that were a little weird.
Mm-hmm. Describe for us what you saw.
The first thing I saw was mainly cigar-shaped. They were silvery objects, you know, indicative of some sort of metallic things.
And what were they doing?
They were just going across the sky very, very rapidly. And there were some jets that were there with contrails, and they were passing over the contrails without any contrails themselves.
Okay. How many of them did you see, Jeff?
I saw one. However, when I took the pictures of these things, there was one plus a couple of shadowy objects that appeared in the photographs.
Yeah. Okay, so you actually saw with your eye one, but when you got the picture and looked at it, there were a couple of objects you said were kind of shadowy. I know because you sent me the picture that these two shadowy or darker objects were way down below the silvery object that went through the contrail. So
I didn't see either one of those other shadowy objects with naked eye.
Uh-huh.
You know, the thing that caught my attention was the silver object that was streaking across the sky.
How fast do you think it was going?
I was watching a traditional jet plane over the normal commercial airline things, and this thing was about twice as fast. The commercial jetliner.
Well, let me describe what people are seeing on their TV channel now for those of you who are listening. And by the way, if you are listening to the show and you would like to see these sorts of things, you need to join so you can watch us live. This is dramatically zoomed in. So this was pretty far away from Jeff. But what we see here, and this is the raw picture, except I've just zoomed in on it, and what we see is a contrail, and if I was not zoomed in, you would see a little dot at the beginning, at the front of this contrail, and that's the jet aircraft. And then we see a kind of a white dot, about the size of a BB. Above the contrail. This white dot is about twice larger than the dot at the front of the contrail. Appears to be larger than the airplane. In the next picture is this picture, but I have applied embossing to it, and the embossing really brings out the contrail and the object itself. Now, Jeff says it's moving about twice as fast as the jet. It appears to be that its apparent size is about twice the size of the jet. Now, in the picture, it looks like a circular object, although Jeff said, and he said it to me on the phone, while he was seeing it happen, it's cigar-shaped. Well, when I zoom in some more on this thing, we can see that it is, in fact, elongated. It's not just a white dot. It is elongated, and it's got kind of an odd shape to it. It's elongated, but it's sort of slightly bent in the middle. And so what we have is not zoomed in, what we're looking at, not zoomed in. Then the one in the middle is zoomed in. The one on the right is zoomed in and embossed. And so we can see that it is elongated, but sort of bent in the middle. Now, this picture that's coming up are the two dark objects that he saw and that I saw in the photograph. These two dark objects are under the one we were just looking at. Quite a distance under. There's no way that I could get both of these plus the elongated white thing we looked at. There's no way I could get that on one screen. Because if I shrink the picture down enough to put them all three on one screen, you won't even see these dark dots. But these are sort of V-shaped, both of them. And there was no way I could get both of them embossed and enlarged on one screen. So I picked one. But they both are the same shape. They're kind of V-shaped, slightly V-shaped. Jeff, about what time was it when you saw these?
These were about 7:30, 8 o'clock.
So the moon was out, and the moon is in these pictures, but although the moon is out, it's still daylight.
Yeah.
What'd you think about that?
It was kind of weird.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever seen UFOs before?
I don't know if any of these things are weird or what, but whatever, but it just kind of struck me as odd.
Now, Jeff, do you think there's any chance at all that these are Chinese wedding lamps?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'm sure they are all Chinese wedding lamps.
Yeah. Well, I was confused at first because at first I thought it might be the Air National Guard from Maryland dropping flares. But then I was convinced as I looked at it that they had to be Chinese wedding lamps.
Yeah, I'm sure that's what they were.
Have you ever seen any UFOs before, Jeff?
I've seen a number of them.
And in your opinion, then, are these UFOs or are they something else?
I don't know what they are, so I would consider them UFOs.
Yeah. Well, and the fact that the one you could see was traveling about twice as fast as the jet, for those who didn't get it, talking about Chinese wedding candles was all tongue-in-cheek. The fact that it was traveling twice as fast as the jet would indicate that it has some sort of propulsion system. It isn't just something that floated up there to 40,000 feet. It has some type of propulsion system. Could you hear that jet?
I didn't hear anything.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I watched the contrails from the original thing that looked like a jet.
Mm-hmm.
And this thing was very close to it, even passed through the contrails and didn't leave any indication that it was anything.
Okay, so it passed through the contrail but did not disturb the contrail.
No. It had no contrail itself. It's just, I don't know what it is.
Uh-huh. Have you been tempted to run screaming in panic into the nighttime as a result of this?
No.
Well, that's good. That's good. So let me ask you, if NASA announces tomorrow that they've been lying to us and that there is life on Mars, is that going to make you panic?
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not. All right. Well, Jeff, I appreciate you calling, and I thank you for sharing these pictures with us. Was there anything else you wanted to add to what you told us about all this?
No, it's just, it's really weird.
Mm-hmm.
And, I see a lot of this stuff a lot of the time, and, I don't know what it is.
Yeah. All right. Well, Jeff, thanks for the call, man. I appreciate it.
Okay.
All right.
Take care, Kevin.
It was pretty interesting this afternoon. Earlier this evening, I was on the telephone with Jeff, and he said, "Holy cow, what is that?" And then he started describing what he was seeing, and I said, "Take pictures." And he shot this picture, and so we've just shared it with you. So that is a very recent, hot off the press UFO sighting. That went up in the Nashville area. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Steve from Georgia.
Hello, Steve.
And I thought that those were some pretty good images of those European door handles up there.
That
Jeff saw.
Yeah, they actually are kind of shaped like that.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yep, those are definitely European door handles up there.
And
somebody must have heaved them awful hard and fast.
Aren't the Europeans ingenious to figure out a way to make those things fly?
Yep. Well, anyway, what I wanted to call in and talk about, we're aware of how the elite and the powers that be that control the matrix that surround us like to feed us every once in a while through Hollywood. They provide predictive programming. You know, they'll show a movie that will release just a little bit of information to tease us about some of the things that they're up to, so that if we ever clue into it, it's very easy to say, oh, you've been watching too many movies, you know, you've been watching too many episodes of The X-Files or too much Fringe or been watching too much Kevin Smith Show.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I just noticed that Matt Damon is in the process of making a film that's going to be released this spring called Elysium. And the plot of the movie is about a space station that's up circling the Earth that has been constructed to resemble a kind of a paradise planet.
All right, hang on. We have a break. And as soon as this break is over, we'll get right back to you. We'll be back, folks, right after this.
Virginia, and you are smart because you are listening to the Kevin Smith Show.
And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. It is Open Line Live, Bring Your Own Topic, BYOT night. And on the telephone with me, Steve from Georgia. Steve, as we went away for break, you were just about to tell us about a new movie Matt Damon is making called Elysium.
Right. And the plot of this movie involves the elite of the planet moving to a space station that's orbiting the planet The space station is set up and designed to be like a small version of paradise, a paradise-type planet that, from what I understand, is pretty much fed and supplied by resources from the Earth. And those resources, of course, are being farmed by the slaves that are left behind down on the planet. And people who live on the planet itself are reduced to squalor. You know, it's a pretty sorry situation. And the elite sit up there just having a good time, having a party up there on Elysium. And, of course, there are very strict immigration policies where you don't go from one place to another unless you're specifically qualified for one reason or another. Mm-hmm. And I think Matt Damon is being cast in a character whose job it is to enforce those immigration policies, but then he gets backed into a corner somehow, and the plot thickens. You know, how does the equalization happen, and so on and so on. I think all that is irrelevant after that. But the important thing is the whole foundation of this, the elite setting themselves up in a paradise situation and being taken care of by us. You know, which is pretty much happening right now anyway, only as far as we know, not off planet. But you know, I have read a lot of things about how that is their goal ultimately, is to somehow get off planet and use us. And I just thought it would be an interesting thing for the type of audience, you know, our community here, the Kevin Smith community, to keep their eyes and ears open for this movie, and watch it with their mind open, their eyes open, and pick out the predictive programming that's in there.
Well, I think so, and I have to tell you, I hope to heck they do it. I hope they build a space station and haul their sorry butts up there, because I'll tell you why.
I wish they were already there.
Well, let me tell you why. It'll be
one of those European door handles that they're sending up over Tennessee.
Yeah, it will be paradise for no longer than 1 week, because all of these elites are used to being in charge and giving orders. And when they're all up there together, who's going to be giving orders and who's going to be taking orders? It'll be war.
Oh, wouldn't it be awful?
I hope they go. I hope they haul their sorry butt to a space station, take their wealth with them, and go. We'll watch when the thing crashes.
I agree. They deserve each other, Kevin. They deserve each other.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. Well, that's going to be interesting. I'll look forward to that movie, and when it comes out, I will make it a point to see that movie. I don't watch many. I watch documentaries from time to time. I don't watch many movies. Once in a while, I do.
Yeah. Same with me and Lori. We can't do the movie scene anymore, Kevin. It's just too much toxic garbage out there that'll cloud your mind and gum up your thinking. And there's just, you know, there's too much important stuff up there to focus on.
Yeah.
That the movies just aren't going there.
Yeah, but that's an interesting concept. I think that one might be worth watching.
All right, well, I'll go ahead and get off and let somebody else call in. Kevin, keep up the good work. Excellent show tonight.
All right, thanks for the call. It is an excellent show tonight. And it's an excellent show because you're calling in with your topics, things you're interested in. And, man, what a variety, huh? 623-444-5889. And if you are outside of the USA or you're outside of Canada, you can call us, or you can use the flash message feature on the website. Just go to my website, kevinsmithshow.com. Scroll down, and you'll see the picture about tonight's show. Right above that picture is a link that says Flash Message. And so if there's a topic you want us to discuss, send me that flash message. But if you're in the USA, if you're in Canada, it's the telephone, 623-444-5889. You know, I really appreciated John from Texas calling in. And John is a geophysicist. That's what he does. And he called in to tell us that the means, the story about this pyramid that apparently has been discovered underground in the northwestern United States. Apparently, the story is that the Chinese set off an underground nuclear test years ago, and this thing was discovered as we were watching the seismometers, if you will, the seismographs. And John said that's not possible. He's a geophysicist, and so I have to take his word for it. He said that's just not possible. It's baloney. But he's not saying that there's not a pyramid there. He said that, you know, from Google Earth, he can see that there's some kind of an anomaly there. He can see some rectangular feature there. So there is something there. But what's baloney is the story about how it was discovered. So it would have had to have been discovered in some other way, not that way. So, okay. Well, one of the things so interesting to me about pyramids is not, I mean, the pyramids themselves are mysterious. They're all over the place. There's one in China that, you know, the one in the Great Pyramid in Egypt is 48 stories tall. The one in China is 1,200 feet. So, you know, it's almost as tall as the Empire State Building, spire included. And you know, it's gigantic. It's I hear people talk about the one in Egypt as being the largest one on the planet. It's not. It's not. So they're mysterious all by themselves. Just the fact that there are these pyramids everywhere. What is it that caused people in some distantly ancient past, way back beyond history, way into prehistory, to build pyramids? Why? What is it that caused that? And not only in prehistory, it comes right down into, you know, a few centuries A.D. With some of the pyramids being built in South America. The other thing that's interesting to me is about the pyramids is read all of these books and articles and theories about what these pyramids were for. I promise you there's not anybody standing on this planet alive today that knows what these pyramids were for. It's all conjecture. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Jody again. Do you accept second calls?
Not normally, but I will tonight. Go ahead.
Okay. I want to follow up on that information about the pyramid.
Uh-huh.
I have Linda Moltenhau's earthfiles.com.
Okay.
In front of me with the whole interview with that gentleman. He was a chief warrant officer, too, and in counterintelligence.
Okay.
And what had happened was is, when he got stationed in Alaska, he wanted to go panning for gold and silver, so he got these maps, these GSA office he went to, and he picked up the maps. And he noticed an area had been whited out along the Mount McKinley area there, and he thought that was really weird. Because it said it had not been surveyed as of the date 1970 to 1972. And he knew that was ridiculous because there were surveys back in the 1960s.
Mm-hmm.
So he didn't think much about it until he was in the mess hall with 39 other guys. And TV station, NBC TV local news, came on and mentioned about the pyramid being discovered. And they tied it in with that nuclear explosion in Lumpur, China. So it wasn't that they just wanted to see, they always do those seismic studies and so forth when they know that one underground will be set up. But it's not that they're making a direct connection. It's just that he saw this on the TV and their ears really perked up because they announced this pyramid at Mount McKinley. So what he decided to do was to try to VCR it. And, of course, it never came on again. And then he called his dad in Ohio, and he says, Dad, because his dad watches all kinds of news programs, and he said, you know, Dad, have you heard about this pyramid? And Dad said, no. So he thought the next best thing he would do was go to the TV station. And when he went to, the manager said, no, we never had that story. But, and so he knew the guy was lying to him, and as he's walking out, one of the technicians whispered to him then that that story had been shown, and there were 39 other guys that saw it with him, you know, back at the on the base. So it really got his, he was in counterintelligence, it really got his interest piqued. So it goes from there. And the interesting thing is it's supposed to be on the west side of Mount McKinley, facing Nome. And but how, what he had to do to get the information, it's a very interesting, I can't go into all the details because of time here, but he and Lynn did not make connections right away, because when she tried to call him, his phone number wasn't working, and when he tried to call her, her phone number wasn't working. So someone didn't want them to get together.
Mm-hmm.
But he had submitted all his paperwork. He's legitimate. She's got photocopies of all his papers and in the military. But it's interesting to read up on it and what he went through to find out what the information was all about. But some, apparently, they did not want people to know about it. He went one step further. He went into some, he went to Fort Meade and Maryland, and he had a chance to look up old papers or something, and it says that when he was opening up the maps, two guys walked up into up to him and said, you don't need to be looking at this. And he says, well, I'm just like, and it's not, it's a need to know. And he was blocked from really even doing more research on it. So,
yeah.
Well,
see, now the part
of Mount McKinley.
The part that John said, and he is a geophysicist. Oh, well, look, a break is taking over. Hang on, and I'll finish that on the other side of the break. We'll be back, folks, right after this break, so don't go away. All right, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. It is Open Line Live, BYOT, Bring Your Own Topic, and we are on Final Approach. On the telephone with me, Joni from Missouri. Joni, what I was about to explain, what John from Texas, who is a geophysicist, was referring to, he said he's not saying there's no anomaly there. He can see that from the Google Earth picture. He said the story that was on television about how it was discovered is baloney. And so he's not saying that Linda is baloney. He's saying that story that was on that television show about how this was discovered just can't happen. It doesn't work that way. And I don't doubt that, because look, if it's in the news media, it's skewed.
Right. Well, I find it, her slant is the fact that what he had to do to try to get the information that he was curious about, it was very interesting how he ended up finding out, or not finding out, what he wanted, because after these guys said he didn't need to know, one fella claimed and stated to him, they don't want us messing with them up there anymore. They don't want you messing with them up there. They don't want us or anybody else messing with them. Well, when he said that, there were two guys. The other guy looked at him like his partner, like looks could kill. And so in his mind, he's saying, what did this guy just tell me? You know, that they don't want anyone messing with them anymore. And so it just implicates that there's something more to it.
Yeah.
You know, so it's an interesting mystery.
It is. And, you know, that's one of the things. When they try to cover something up, it draws attention to it. And they don't, you don't try to hide something unless it's important, you know. You might hide your diamond necklace in the house so burglars won't get it, but you don't hide your tennis shoes, you know. You only hide what's really important. So, yeah, it's quite an interesting story. You know, I was thinking about, when you called in before, I was thinking about this pyramid in relationship to St. Louis. And the reason is this. All those stories that we read about, you know, well, this is where they had all these religious ceremonies, you know, these pyramids. They had these religious ceremonies, or they did human sacrifice, or this was, you know, they give us these stories about what they were for. Just imagine if 200 years from now, St. Louis is covered up with sand, but the arch is still there under the sand, and some archaeologist digs it up, or 1,000 years from now, and an archaeologist digs it up, and he finds that archway. Just imagine the stories they're going to write about the religion of the people of St. Louis, and how the high priest would go up into this archway and do these ceremonies, and probably there was human sacrifice too, you know. You know, that's the kind of nonsense we get out of these people.
Right. We get it. We also get it in the books that students learn.
Yeah.
In history, in geography. So I quite understand.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, and I'll tell you, I've been up in that archway more than once, and I've never yet seen human sacrifice.
No.
Although I felt like I was going to die. When you look out those windows and you realize what little stands between you and falling hundreds of feet.
I know. I've only been there up once, and that was enough.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, hey, thanks for the call.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, bye. All right. Well, we have time for one call if it comes in right now. At 623-444-5889. Yeah, you know, one of the great mysteries of pyramids, not only the pyramids themselves, they're mysterious. I mean, why were they built, and why are they all over the world on every continent? You have pyramids. Why? Well, that's mysterious. But then you start reading all of these books and treatises and stuff that people got doctor's degrees by writing those. And they tell you all these things about, you know, well, you know, this was used for religious ceremonies, and the priest would stand here and they would do this and they would do that. You know, with the exception of some of the ones in South America and in Mexico, nobody knows what these pyramids were for. Why did they not build a dome? Or why did they not build a rectangular building? Well, actually, they did build domes in some places, and they built rectangular buildings. But then the question, why the pyramid? Domes, well, we can understand that because of airflow. It was a way to manage the climate inside. Why did they build rectangular buildings? Well, they're easy to build, and people needed places to live. But pyramids? You are aware of the fact that the Great Pyramid was not built as a tomb. It was never used as a tomb, ever. So why was it built? It's massive. Why was it built? It's a mystery. But even greater mysteries lie in the pages of all those doctoral thesis papers explaining why these pyramids were built, what was their purpose, what was their use. It's all conjecture. In St. Louis, there's a big archway, and you can go inside of it and go up to the top. You can walk up, I think, but they also have, you get in this, it's kind of like a train, but it's individual chairs, and it's a lift. And it lifts you to the top, and you get out of your chair, and the next person comes up and gets out of his chair, and the next person comes up. And there's an observation deck up there inside of the arch, and the walls slant outward, and you can kind of lay over and look out on the city below you. Pretty scary stuff. I'm afraid of heights. There's very few things that I'm afraid of. Heights is one of them. I am afraid of heights. And but I'm not afraid to fly. I can't explain that. But, you know, 1,000 years from now, if somebody digs that archway up, there's going to be somebody earning doctor's degrees, several somebodies earning doctor's degrees, deciphering the meaning of this great arch and what it was used for. You know, the archway has no sociological significance at all. It has no religious significance at all. It's not there for any sociological or religious reason. It is there as a work of art, a big, big cultural work of art for the city. And that's it. That's it. There's no sociological... People don't gather at the archway for rites and ceremonies. People don't gather at the archway for religious ceremonies. But somebody will earn a doctor's degree way into the future writing all about those ceremonies that happened at the archway that never happened. And I'm convinced that's true of a whole lot of ancient architecture. I'm convinced that a lot of people have earned doctor's degrees over nonsense. All right, that's going to pretty much do it for this evening. It's been a lot of fun. Open Line Live is always a lot of fun, but even more so when we have a lot of calls like we did tonight. A great variety of topics like we had tonight, and you made it happen. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You may call me whatever you wish to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time. So long, everybody.